Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Posh, from the two-man power trip of wrestling. And of course, joining me is the star of the show, former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, the former NWA Florida World Heavyweight Champion, and of course, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Great, John. How are you, my friend?
Doing pretty good. Let's talk about the Ultimate Warrior making his debut in WCW, although he wasn't Ultimate, he was just the Warrior. When did you first meet Warrior?
I was training for the Mr. Knoxville, and he was training for the Mr. Georgia. I met him at Doc Neely's gym. Yeah, I was a bodybuilder, he was a bodybuilder, and I met him there. Later on, I used to go into Texas. I'm from Florida, and I met him as the Dingo Warrior. Gary Hart said, you know, he's the next big thing. And next thing is, he's the hottest thing in wrestling.
Why did Gary Hart say that? I mean, he just knew that he had something?
Yeah.
The charisma, the look, obviously not the wrestling ability per se, but
it was all the other things.
The times were changing. Muscle heads were in.
What did you think about him personally?
He was always super nice to me. Maybe because I knew him before. I used to train in the same gym at the same time as him. Maybe it was because I knew him.
When you first met him and you guys were doing all that bodybuilding stuff, did he get into the business yet?
Well before. He was a chiropractor.
So what did you think about him getting into the business?
I didn't know he did until I saw him in Dallas.
Wow. So you just remembered him from the weightlifting?
Yeah.
What did you think about him in the ring?
He had something that could draw money, but he wasn't my cup of tea for longevity.
WWF, it is interesting that, okay, Warrior's the man. He beats Hogan in WrestleMania 6. Hogan goes away for a little bit. He comes back for the Earthquake feud and really re-cements himself as the number one guy. But it's interesting. For whatever reason, Warrior didn't work out. I don't think anybody is going to be able to follow Hogan, right? I mean, numbers-wise, that's like eclipsing Babe Ruth with the next guy. It's just hard to do, right?
One of the things that people knock Hogan about, he couldn't work. Go back to New Japan and watch his matches with Inoki. He could work. We carried the Warrior in that match. He had taken the guy's finish and kicked out. When he left the ring and the eyes should have been on the Warrior, they all turned to see where Hulk was going.
It's true.
Smart veterans can steal your thunder anytime they want without you knowing it.
Absolutely. So the houses and everything are down when Warrior's champion kind of need Hogan back. Slaughter beats Warrior, the transitional champion. Hogan beats Slaughter, and boom, he's the number one guy again. From an outsider looking in, of course, like, did McMahon think like, oh, all right, Hogan is still the guy, or did he think that Warrior stumbled?
That's a great question, but I'm going to answer it this way. Maybe for the first time, Vince questioned himself. The mistake they made, too, was when they put the belt on Warrior and he didn't play ball the way he should have, the way Hogan had carried the whole company. Hogan carried that company on his back. He flew everywhere. He made every appearance. And I'm not knocking the Warrior at all, but he didn't play the same role that Hogan did.
With the Hulkster coming back in the fold, was there always underlying heat? Because you always hear stories, and obviously shoot interviews and interviews, they kind of take digs back at each other. Hogan and Warrior kind of going back and forth. You think that was all because Hogan was pissed that this guy was coming in, taking his limelight away for a bit when Hogan still thought he had it, still thought he was the man?
It wasn't so much his shine. It was the money.
With Warrior having so many issues with Vince over the years, SummerSlam 91, the rumor is he held him up for money. Vince agreed to give him the money. As soon as he comes back, Vince fires him immediately. I mean, there's a few back and forth. He comes back in 96. gets fired again because he said he was going to his dad's funeral or something. And, you know, he wasn't really close with his dad, was what Vince had said. So he didn't know what really was going on with him. But for years, there's kind of been this back and forth between Warrior and Vince. And Warrior has said he never got Hogan money. You think that was a problem on Warrior's end, that he wasn't getting paid as much as Hulk?
I believe that Warrior got Hogan money. I think he wanted more. That was the problem.
Do you think that Warrior was ever as popular as Hulk? Because that's my fandom right there. I never saw Warrior as being more popular than Hulk, ever.
Hogan was still Hogan then.
Who is the point person in bringing Warrior in?
Hulk and Eric.
How'd they bring him in?
Money.
So when were you clued in that they were even talking to him?
At that time, I had a very good relationship with Hulk, and he was telling me he wanted to bring Warrior in. That's why they brought the Renegade in earlier.
What do you say?
I supported it.
But when he comes in, it's only on a temporary contract?
I think it was one of those things where the Warrior felt, let me put my toe in the water and see if I don't get a bid off, and after 3 months, I'll renegotiate.
Do you know how much money he got?
No, but I know he got a lot.
I was trying to find an exact number online, and I don't know what's true. They were saying he got $1 million.
I bet he did.
When he does sign, does Hogan tell you or Bischoff?
I think Hulk told me.
So when do you start thinking of what you're going to do with him? Like, how are you going to book him?
Hogan wanted to handle it.
And he designed this practically by himself. This one's mine. I'll take care of it. He knew what to do.
Creative control, brother.
Yeah.
Did Warrior ever bring up the Renegade?
He never said anything. And to my amazement, I think he took the high road where he could have really jumped on their shit. And I got to salute him for that.
Was this done to counteract WWF because of Steve Austin?
I think it was just coincidence.
August 17th, 1998 on Nitro from Hartford, Connecticut, of all places. He's simply known just as the Warrior. They kind of tease it earlier in the night. Hogan's cutting this promo where he says there's no Warriors left. And then he makes his debut. What's the thought process here going in?
This was worked out by Hogan and Warrior. And I think they did a pretty good job of it.
Did it run over on time, like Bischoff said?
Oh, it ran over way over time. But here's the thing. Warrior's strong point was never his interviews, were they? He'd go off on a tangent, something short and sweet and crazy.
Here they were throwing working insults at each other.
I don't need to beat you. Everybody's beating you. Remember that line?
Yes. Yeah. Some of the stuff he says in there, you know, like taking shots at Hogan, which means that if he beats him, it doesn't mean as much, which he thinks. There's some lines in there that he probably shouldn't have said.
It was doomed from the start.
Why did it go over, though? Did he just get lost and just kept rolling?
Yeah, he just kept rolling. I thought they were going to cut to a commercial break at one time, but they knew that there would be a huge problem.
Do you think that some of the digs, like we were kind of saying, went over a lot of people's head?
I think that it went over some people's heads, but real wrestling fans popped.
And it's funny, Bischoff, too, he's there. He's technically in charge of the show. He can't get the guy to stop because he's on a roll and they're on national TV. Nothing him and Hulk could do. They're in the worst possible position.
Yeah, they look like... the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and the Scarecrow. And you had the Warrior as the Wizard of Oz.
To me, awesome debut just for the fact that, holy shit, Warrior showed up at WCW. What the hell's going on? Completely takes a ton of attention away from WWF. This was in the era of me as a fan where I would call my buddies or my buddies would call me on the phone. Literally was getting calls left and right and calling my brother into the room and saying, hey, holy shit, a Warrior is on WCW. Like, the Ultimate Warrior? Boom, they change it. So looking back, it's like, okay, so many of us did that. Let's see how the rating was. 4.9 for Nitro. Raw was only 4.2. So during the Highway to Hell build, Steve Austin is hot as hell. Ultimate Warrior, the old legend, comes in and beats him by 0.7. It worked.
How many people were watching?
It's got to be somewhere around 10 million.
The willing suspension of disbelief is a wonderful thing. They turned in to see Hogan and Warrior.
The next week, too, they tuned in. 5.2. So many people are interested. Like, what the hell is Warrior doing back? I mean, had a brief run in 96 and then kind of went away, but it was so short. It was one of those things where it's like, and of course, he's there to wrestle the Hulkster.
Yeah.
You guys have to be happy with the ratings, right?
Oh, yeah. Ecstatic.
Were you shocked at the ratings? Like, how high they were? Or you knew that he would draw?
I knew he'd draw, but I didn't think he was going to draw like that.
What did Goldberg think?
Bill was a great team player. He just went along with it.
They do a lot of weird stuff where Hogan is afraid of Warrior. He sees Warrior in the mirror. What do you think about that? Pretty cheesy?
They should have left that to the Dungeon of Doom.
Don't steal our shit.
Is that Hogan again?
I think the Warrior came up with a lot of that stuff, not just Hulk.
And you just have to roll with it, right?
Yes, creative control. Was Hogan trying to make the Warrior feel comfortable on his shtick? Could the Warrior then do regular promos? Would he feel comfortable and do them? I'm taking nothing away from the Warrior. He drew a lot of money. But could he adapt to that era of believability? Or was he standing out like a sore thumb?
Yeah, it was almost like he didn't change with the times. Kind of going backwards away from the NWO and what made it special. Even Warrior with the smoke coming in and then disappearing seems very early 90s, not fitting in with WCW at that point.
He was teleporting.
Seemed like it, yeah.
At Fall Brawl 1998,
you're going to have this weird three-way, nine-man tag team War Games match. So it's Team Hollywood, Hogan, Stevie Ray, and Bret Hart versus the NWO Wolfpack, which is Nash, Luger, and Sting. And then there is Team WCW, which is Paige, Warrior, and Roddy Piper.
What did you think about this crazy match?
Ends up with DDP getting the win, getting the pin over Stevie Ray. But this is not a traditional War Games match.
I don't like it. It wasn't
Wanda. Right, not at all.
So why advertise it that way?
Just because you got creative control, you can do anything you want.
Star-studded match, though. I mean, whew. Main eventer after main eventer after main eventer.
But it was obvious Stevie Ray was going to take the pin.
War Games is War Games. That was Dusty Rhodes' baby.
And really, Warrior's trying to kind of create his own NWO, but it's going to be backwards. It's going to be OWN, One Warrior Nation, and kind of DDP and Piper are going to be a part of it. It just didn't work in any way.
If Hogan and Warrior were drawing in the ratings, shouldn't Warrior have won the match?
And really, in this match, Hogan and Warrior kind of set themselves off. You know, Warrior breaks the cage down, and they kind of separate from the match, kind of taking them out.
Those are egos, not thinking business.
Are they hitting at all, you think, with this feud, or is this total miss?
Do you think Paige should have won?
There's Sting, there's Luger, there's Brett, there's Hogan, there's Warrior, there's Piper. He's probably the least likely to win.
You could have came up with a finish where Roddy Piper was a half-ass heel all the time. He was a babyface. Hit Hogan with a crutch or a cane or a Bolt of Lightning and Warrior cover him when Hogan was beating the shit out of Warrior. I mean, we could have come up with some creative shit and guys rolling out of the ring and then beating a sacrificial lamb who was kind enough to do the job because Stevie's a hell of a guy. That was bullshit.
With that happening, it seems like, okay, there's so much to do with Warrior. There's so many kind of dream matches you could have. There's kind of a build you could have. Really, a big dream match that happens on Nitro is the Blade Runners, Sting and the Ultimate Warrior versus Bret Hart and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. But Hulk and Bret lose via DQ. It's really only like a 5 or 6 minute match. Did you think that that could have been handled better?
Of course I do. There were so many things that we did the right thing then. You could have had Sting step up after Warrior beat Hogan, said, "Hey, before you get Hogan, I got to ask you a question. I've always wanted to know which one of us was better. We started out together. Can you give me a title shot?" And they could have done something in that match with the end of Hogan and put Paul and Nash back together because they're going to stop this Warrior Nation. And he could have done a lot of things. By doing the right thing first, thinking about business, not your business. Because if you do the right thing first, your business will be good for a lot longer time.
So really, it seems like it was a success initially as the ratings are going up and he's doing a good job and combating WWF, who's on a roll at this point. Big misstep, Fall Brawl. That tag match could have been handled better with maybe some better buildup, all leading into the big pay-per-view Halloween Havoc 1998, which we'll cover in more depth at another time. But Hogan, Warrior, technically not the main event, although everybody thought that was the main event. Hogan defeats the Warrior about 15 minutes. Not a very good match, especially compared to the WrestleMania 6 match, which was great. Hogan pins Warrior after getting smashed in the back with a chair by Horace Hogan. Kind of a bad match. What did you think?
He wanted the win back for some strange reason. And maybe he felt slighted by doing a job to the Warrior. And he wanted to show the Warrior who was the king of the hill.
The fire spot, which everybody remembers, was a big mishap.
Horace Hogan. I love Horace as a person, but should he been hitting the Warrior?
No.
Should we done something maybe with Brett, somebody else, elevate somebody else? I know you're trying to elevate your nephew, and he's a very good performer, but not that night. And the fire didn't work. I'm not knocking him because I've thrown fire and sometimes it hasn't worked. So you got to be very careful what you're doing.
It didn't even come close to him, did it?
Nope.
It almost got on Hulk's face, right?
Yeah, he almost, yeah, but by the time he finally got it. Did you think that was kind of like the beginning of the end there? Like, okay, like this is not a very good thing.
I didn't know if it was the beginning and the end, but I thought we went from doing the right thing to doing what was right for one person.
The match doesn't go as planned. What does Warrior think about it? Because, I mean, obviously you guys know, but does he think, okay, this is a disaster, this isn't going well?
He knew what he was in there for, the sacrificial lamb. He knew what he was doing. He got the money and ran.
Gotcha. So it's all about the Hulkster and not maybe about WWE as a whole.
That's not a way to run a successful business, I don't think. And this is what started to happen there. We got eye off the prize, and I was as guilty as anybody else. So no one said, hey, wait a minute here. This ain't right. We got to get back on the track. Everybody just went along.
So with Hogan beating Warrior, he gets his win back. Warrior comes out, basically the next Nitro says, you have no honor, you cheated to win, the win means nothing. Hogan comes out, Warrior basically tosses Hogan and the NWO out of the ring. He stands tall. A few weeks later, the Warrior then quote-unquote saves the Disciple, a.k.a. Bruce the Barber, and makes him a part of OWN and saves him from an NWO beatdown. But then he was never seen in WCW again and basically retired and saying, to the point of what everybody thought to begin with, I was only brought in so Hogan get his win back.
There you go. He knew. He had a price.
Starts off great with great ratings, domination, beating Austin in the ratings, and then it ends with nothing. He's as part doing the OWN, he's saving Brutus the Barber Beefcake, then he just disappears and retires as 3 months is over, basically, right? All Hogan wants to do is beat him, and then he can move on.
Why are you putting Hogan over so easily? I'm sure Eric had to have an unbelievable talk with him, but does that seem to go against the Warriors' grain?
Yes. Surprised about it.
I was very surprised that night.
I never thought he was going to do it like that. I assumed they had come to some kind of agreement. In my head was assuming they were going to have a series of three matches. Is that what you kind of envisioned?
But I definitely thought it'd be more than one match just because Warrior's back. You know, it's this huge thing. It was a big ratings getter for a while and a big draw. And it was like, wow, I was just like, that was it. Like, that's all Hogan wanted to do was beat him. And that's it.
Yeah, we mismanaged the Warrior.
So this is one of the ones where maybe you wish you could have somehow changed the booking on Warrior in WCW.
Yep. But it didn't happen, but it was not my fault, and I don't think it was Warrior's fault. It wasn't Eric's fault. I want that win back.
I think we could have presented them better, but I also think that Hogan knew to get what he wanted out of the Warrior, he had to listen to what the Warrior wanted.
But they did a 6-0. If they did the right thing, they'll tell them what we could have done.
It's crazy. You go up so high only to be crushed down eventually by Austin and the Attitude Era. But it was like, wow, you had a momentum and it got ruined by some bad decision.
Right.
All right. And I think that's where we'll cap this one, Warrior in WCW. You could follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And of course, follow Kevin at Taskmaster Talks on Instagram. Check out Kevin on Pro Wrestling Tees. Go to prowrestlingtees.com and check out the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else you got going on? Anything good?
Yeah, I'm going on SWE Fury Friday, and Charlie Haas is going to be defending his title against Tokyo Monster. You can get it on pay-per-view, so hopefully I'll see some of our friends there in Irving, Texas.
All right. Great stuff. As always, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks.
It's the Warrior. There's only one, and that's him. Talk to me, Warrior.
Look at Hogan.
Feel the real power, Hogan. I thought you were dead.
Is the last thing in the entire universe that Hogan ever expected. And you can see it. I never saw him shake before, but Hogan was shaking.
Seems as if no formal introduction is going to be necessary.
Actually, it even seems as if there are those who anticipated my arrival.
Well, they're glad he's here. I think he's scared to death. I think he wants to make amends. He's doing everything. Look at this. He took off. He wants him to join him. He wants him to join him.
There's the act of a coward right there.
What is that smell? You might want to use that to clean up the mess you just made all over yourself. You need to open your eyes and ears. Take control of the limited ability you have to understand the words I am about to say. For years, I have watched while this industry, with you as its figurehead, has tried to recreate what is simply unrecreatable. I have heard, listened to all the innuendos and speculation that something ultimate or warrior may soon reappear. Welcome to the reappearance! Those things, Hogan, which are irreplaceable, whether they be people, places, or things, are never forgotten. You are witnessing that right now.
Hogan is visibly shaken. He's speechless. Has no idea where to go, what to say, what to do next. And the fans here are into it.
He's at a loss for words.
Bischoff looks sick.
History tells us, Hogan. Let's talk about something he doesn't know.
Bingo.
History tells us, Hogan, that a man's legacy is built from the premise that within his life, the moments lived, once lived, become a piece of his history. Somehow, you have conveniently, even eloquently, misplaced pieces of your history. In the one time epical battle between us, Hogan, you were the quintessential influence of what was good, great, and heroic. But different than you may remember, and albeit you may have beaten myths, legends, giants, and other great men, you never, never beat a warrior.
He's right up in his face. Right in his soul is what he is.
And certainly not the ultimate one. as the victor of that one-time battle. I defeated what was, until then, undefeatable. I conquered what was then unconquerable. I dominated what was, until then, indomitable. On that day, you were great. I was ultimate! Let me introduce myself to those two fools that stand behind you. Let's see. This dude must be your barber. And who are you, little man? Who are you?
Introduce yourself here.
You know who I am. My name is Eric Bischoff, and I run this company, and who invited you?
Different than you want to make people believe. I never received an invitation. I showed up on my own accord. And let me tell you, Mr. Eric Bischoff, if you stick your nose in my business, you only very quickly prepare for your own demise. Furthermore, when I get done with my business here, I'm going to be sending you a bill. I suggest you pay it. I have waited patiently. The Warriors have waited all too patiently. Now, the virtue of justice unties my hands so that I can continue to fulfill a destiny set in motion upon that memorable day years ago. A destiny at the next level. A destiny beckoning the next superhero. There really is no sadder sight than when a grown man fears the challenges in his life so much that he rationalizes adolescent behavior to the point where he carries out heinous and self-indulgent actions. Your evilness, the evilness you embody and portray, is intolerable. I am the one that has the power to destroy you. Its source, Hogan, the truth is inexhaustible. I come here not to beat you up tonight, Hogan. Beating you means nothing anymore. Everybody already has.
Now to Hogan, that hurts.
No. That's too easy. Because you felt guilty for being who you were. Your mind became weak and Hulkamania became boring. I come here, Hogan, to tell you next week I intend to launch a revolution not even you can control. I ask you to find the courage. Check it out. Next week, same warrior time, same warrior place, same warrior channel.
He has vanished, ladies and gentlemen, in one of the most mind-boggling and incredible displays that we've ever witnessed on this program. The Warrior has literally vaporized before our eyes.
Never seen anything like this in my life.
There's never been anything like this in our sport. Look at the sign. Don't you dare touch that dial.
Uh-uh.